Well, it may have stalled in the final days of this year's legislature, but Georgia's religious freedom bill continues to be the center of debate, and it is expected to come back next year with or without some suggested changes in its language. Senator Josh McCoon is a Republican from Columbus. He is the bill's sponsor. He joins us now in our studio. Senator McCoon, welcome back, and thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
The bill passed the Senate, in case everyone's forgotten exactly where it stands now. It bogged down in the House Judiciary Committee. So will you attempt to bring it back next year in its current form? Because it's not dead. There's a two-year session. It can come back and pick up where it left off. Will you bring it back in its current form?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the version that we passed in the Senate, which very carefully hewed to the federal language, is the right solution. I think it allows judges to perform a balancing test between the right of free exercise and the common good. And I think we've seen in other states that's the direction they're going in. It's certainly the direction Arkansas went in. So that's my intention for next year.
The direction Indiana went in was it did what some of the folks on the House Judiciary Committee here wanted to do, which is insert anti-discrimination language, saying that the bill was not intended to discriminate against gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. Would you consider, I mean, now that there's been a little time to breathe, would you consider putting that in the bill?
I think that what we need to do is to stick to the federal language. I think that the problems that occurred in Indiana and Arkansas occurred because they went beyond the federal language. They went into a position where someone could assert a RFRA claim against another private party. And that's what raised the specter of this whole denial of service issue. The bill that we introduced and passed in the Senate will not allow that to happen. The bill that we introduced and passed in the Senate, the government must be a party to any action. So yeah,
explain that in sort of layman's terms here, because the difference between what the Indiana bill did and what your bill does.
Sure. So the Indiana language, you have a shop owner that refuses service. That's going to wind up being a lawsuit between the person denied service and the retailer. Okay, so the government's not going to be a party to that case. The bill that I authored does not allow that action. You can't assert a religious freedom defense in that type of case.
In other words, the shop owner couldn't do that.
Exactly. The shop owner would not have that cause of action. What the shop owner would have a cause of action for, let's say that that there's a zoning practice that's being put in place by local government that in some way infringes on their right of free exercise. Perhaps a kosher deli and the zoning is now taking away their ability for whatever reason to do that, they could sue the government and assert a religious freedom claim against the government.
Senator McCoon, one would ask, if you say this mirrors the federal legislation, then why does Georgia even need it? Why duplicate it?
It's a great question. This bill was passed at the federal level in 1993 in response to a Supreme Court decision that changed the standard of review for free exercise claims. 4 years later, the Supreme Court said Congress was limited in its authority, that it could only mandate that standard for the federal government. And so states that want to have that strict scrutiny standard, either through their courts or through their legislature, have to act on their own.
But can you cite any cases where this has been an issue since 1993 here in Georgia?
Certainly. We've had numerous examples of free exercise issues coming up. From a Christian student organization that was booted off campus at Savannah State University for holding a foot washing ceremony as part of a discipleship retreat, to a Muslim individual who was wearing her headscarf in a Douglas County courtroom and was ordered to remove that headscarf, and basically having to choose, am I going to participate in the court-mandated business that I'm compelled to be here to do, or hold to my sincerely held religious belief? A Sutton Middle School student that wanted to start a religious student organization was told that he was going to have to rent facilities and be treated completely differently from any student conducting any other extracurricular activity. So there are dozens of examples where government bureaucrats have overreached. And frankly, they've overreached because there's not a bright line standard. The Smith decision from 1990 put us in a very murky place. And the reason we've seen 30 states adopt this standard is it's a bright line standard, it's been litigated, and it makes policymakers much more able to put forward policies that respect the free exercise rights of everyone.
You mentioned this bright line standard here. But for the record, if someone wants to use sort of that bright light standard to discriminate or refuse to serve a member of the LGBT community, you think they should have that right?
I think that under the bill that we have passed, that no one will be conferred a so-called right to discriminate. That will not happen under the language that passed the Senate.
If that's the case, then why not put the language in the bill?
Because the term discrimination or the term civil rights, and those are a couple of the amendments we had some discussion about, those are very elastic terms. And when we start talking about local governments being able to enact ordinances defining what they consider to be civil rights or anti-discrimination, we've got 159 counties in this state. We've got hundreds of municipal governments. The whole point of the bill is for judges all over the state to be able to apply strict scrutiny standard. And the fact that this has been around for decades and there's never been a reported case where a court has upheld an act of discrimination on the basis of a religious freedom challenge makes it clear to me that sticking with the federal language gives us the predictability and the safe harbor of time-tested language without the confusion and, frankly, the exception eating the rule that I think we could potentially go down if we adopt some of this amendment language we've been talking about.
But can you understand the reasoning of people who say, look, if you're arguing that if you won't add the non-discrimination language, and you're also saying we're not intending to discriminate, that if you don't add the non-discrimination language, that proves that that's exactly the intent of the bill.
Well, and I think, you know, I understand that argument. I think anyone that has looked at the history of this legislation and how it's been applied in the 30 other jurisdictions and at the federal level can pretty clearly make the case that, you know, this is never going to be used in that vein. And in fact, in Arizona, which is really the place where this whole controversy got stirred up, the bill that I'm trying to pass in Georgia has been the law in Arizona since 1999. A state legislator felt like he needed to amend the law to allow people to refuse service. So that makes it even clearer that the language of this bill does not in any way allow for discrimination. But adding language that is nowhere in any other state RFRA will introduce a great deal of uncertainty, and it takes us away from the safe harbor of the federal language.
Senator, you just said you're pretty confident that this will not be used to discriminate against some members of the LGBT community or anyone else for that matter. But when you look at what happened in Indiana, where we've heard an individual say that means they have the right, and I know it's two separate bills here, that they have the right to not perform a service for some a member of the society they believe is doing something that they don't believe in terms of the LGBT community and same-sex marriage. Looking at Indiana and all the backlash and the fact that they've had to come back and amend that, are you hopeful and optimistic that Georgia is not going to have to go down that same road? Because that state received a lot of criticism, a lot of backlash, and even the governor admitted, Governor Pence, that he had no idea it would be that much criticism. Are you confident then with Georgia's legislation that the state won't endure it, that this state won't endure the same thing?
I am confident, and I'm confident in part. You know, the one positive thing about us having to wait another year to get this passed is we're going to see what happens in Arkansas. You know, a year ago, Mississippi passed language very similar to the bill that I authored. Arkansas has now done the same thing. If it is true, if what the opponents of this legislation have been arguing is in fact the case, then they're going to be able to start pointing to actual legal cases that support their argument. Thus far, I mean, it's April, so I've been talking about this issue now for 15 months.
Sure.
And I've asked the opponents for 15 months, cite me a single case, and then let's talk about how we deal with that. But the problem is the opposition has been unable to do that. Now, I will say, I think between now and the end of the year, we're going to see how, you know, Arkansas works out. You know, Arkansas had a much broader bill, and Governor Hutchinson said, send me the federal language. That's what I want to sign. That was after he consulted with his son and other folks. And that's what he signed into law. I think what we're going to find from Walmart and other corporations that call Arkansas home at the end of the year, I think we're going to be saying this was really a tempest in a teapot.
Have you spoken with Governor Deal about this at all?
I have not spoken to the governor about this issue. You know, the governor had his agenda that he wanted to move forward this session. He made it very clear where he was on this, which is he wanted us to send him a bill that looked a lot like the bill he voted for in 1993. And that's really what I've been trying to do since January of this year.
And you're saying he voted for that in 1993 because at the time he was a member of Congress and voted for the federal RFRA law. Senator, there have been, obviously, this is just starting, but there are a couple of flower shops in Georgia who have at least told CNN, and this is a CNN report, that they would not serve same-sex couples that wanted to have either commitment ceremonies, marriages, whatever. Is that, and they, does, and that appears to be at least a direct result of this bill going as far as it did. Doesn't this lend some fuel to the argument that whatever the intent that you're saying is behind the bill, private parties are using this as encouragement to deny service to same-sex couples based on sexual orientation?
Well, let's be real clear on what the state of the law is today. That florist that was interviewed by CNN under current Georgia law may do exactly what she said. I mean, that is the current state of Georgia law. I'm not saying that's good or bad or indifferent. What I am saying is there's nothing about this bill that impacts the current state of Georgia law as to whether or not we're going to recognize sexual orientation as a protected class. I think that is a fundamentally different debate. I think that one of the objectives of the opposition to this bill has been to create confusion about this issue, to then leverage it to try to get us to talk about that issue. There are 236 members of the Georgia General Assembly. I'm delighted for us to have a debate and discussion on that issue if any one of them wants to introduce that bill. That has not happened yet.
Should we have sexual orientation as a protected class under the law?
I don't think that that is the discussion that this bill is supposed to be generating. The discussion that
could we have, in effect, simultaneous bills, a deal, if you will, where RFRA says people are protected from government intruding on their expression of religious belief, and at the same time, in terms of private organizations or even government hiring, sexual orientation is a protected class. Would that be an acceptable arrangement?
I don't think that people of faith in this state should be held hostage to any other issue, any other public policy issue. As I said before, there are 236 members of the Georgia General Assembly. If one of them wants to introduce a bill on that subject, then let's introduce that bill and let's have that debate, that separate debate, that debate that has nothing to do with the fundamental protection of the first freedom of all Georgians, which is the right of free exercise.
Senator McCone, we are awaiting a ruling from the United States Supreme Court on same-sex marriage, which could obviously come before the next session gets underway. If the ruling were to strike down the ban on same-sex marriages, what implications would that have on you, on this bill coming back, and should it? Because there you have the high court saying same-sex marriages should be recognized, to ban them is unconstitutional, whereas you have a bill here that sort of, some would say, is directly in conflict with that.
I would say to those that make that argument, look at the dozen or so states that have the Religious Freedom Restoration Act either as a statute or by court decision in place alongside same-sex marriage today. And once again,
but we haven't heard of a case where someone is being denied a service
exactly
in a state that has a same-sex marriage and the RFRA bill.
That is exactly my point. My point is that the opponents who are trying to convince the public that this bill is somehow about striking out or mistreating any group of people have been totally unable to cite a case. I mean, you know, when I go to the courthouse, if I want the jury to agree with me, I've got a burden of proof. I've got to be able to prove my point. And I've never seen a debate like this where the other side is so bereft of any facts or evidence that support the arguments they're making. There's been some very slick public relations, but at the end of the day, there's been no case cited.
Well, but Senator McCone, one could also argue that you look at the history of this country and there have been a lot of instances where there was discrimination and there wasn't a case to back up or to support discrimination, but we had it anyway. I mean, I'm not trying to.
Well, I mean, if people are saying,
to make
if
the
people
analogy
are saying,
here that,
yeah, if people are saying this law is being used to discriminate, there's 22 years of case history. We had a former attorney general of the state who was paid by the opposition to research this, a very sharp lawyer who's been litigating for about four decades. He couldn't find a case. Now, I think if Mike Bowers can't find it, I don't think anybody's going to.
I'm trying to quote him a bit here, but he's basically saying, look, in terms of cases, the issue, because the law hasn't been passed yet, it's not a matter of litigating existing practice because the law hasn't been passed yet. What he's saying is the language of the law would invite that.
And so it's a
hard thing to ask. Do you have a documented case when the law hasn't been passed yet?
That would be true if we were the first state adopting this. The fact there are 30 other jurisdictions to look at and the federal law that has a 22-year history, and he was unable to identify a single place anywhere in this country where that's happened, I think is very telling.
Have you spoken with the we're very short of time here, but have you spoken with the three members of the Judiciary Committee in the House who wanted to insert the non-discrimination language? And is there something that you think could be put together in the wording of it that would satisfy both them and you?
I've been spending most of my time talking to Congressional District Republican Party chairmen around the state. We'll be having conventions this Saturday, and I expect you're going to hear a very strong message sent from all over the state and all 14 congressional districts on this issue.
So does that mean that those three members, all of whom are Republicans, can expect primary challenges if they stick to that?
I mean, I'm not in the business of getting into threatening people. I mean, if they feel strongly about their position, that's something we're going to continue to debate and discuss. But I think if the state Republican Party meets in Athens in May and takes a very strong position on this issue, I think that'll certainly impact the debate.
Finally, Senator McCoon, real quick here, are you willing to have some type of compromise here? Or are you
let me address that. So a year ago, my bill did not mirror the federal bill.
Sure.
And I was asked to compromise. And the compromise that was proposed to me was, bring us the federal language. So I feel as though we have bent over backwards to address a phantom concern that has never manifested itself anywhere. I feel like we are doing now what the appropriate thing is, which is mirroring the federal law, sending to Governor Deal what he voted for in 1993, sending to Governor Deal what Arkansas took as their compromise position. I think that is the appropriate way to move forward, and that's my intention.
Next year is an election year. You already hinted at that because you were talking about the upcoming Republican conventions in the congressional districts. Do you expect that the bill will have a better chance of passage next year because it is an election year?
I think anytime you have an issue presenting again, you've got a better chance of moving it forward. This is our third year, and hopefully the third time is going to be the charm.
As for the boycotts that have been threatened or at least have happened or have been started in Indiana, are you concerned that that would happen here?
I don't think so, again, because I think when we get to the end of this calendar year, we're going to have the experience of Arkansas to look at, and I think what I expect there is that very little is going to happen, and I think our corporate folks here in Georgia are going to look at that and say they've struck the right balance, and let's do the same here.
Senator Josh McCoon is a Columbus Republican. He is the sponsor of Senate Bill 129, the Religious Freedom Bill, which is now in the House Judiciary Committee waiting to come back next year. Senator, thanks so much for coming in and for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We'll check back with you.